Blog Talk Radio.
Again, Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground, the sponsor for the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, which houses our We're Doing Something to Save Our Children. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great show for you today. Back with us once again, Mr. Marsha Jones from the Ohio Players, also Mr. Wilbert Geis, which is the director for the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, and our special guest today, Mr. Henry Mack, 30-year retired Navy veteran. So today we're going to be talking about his program, Veterans Helping Veterans Now, and as we said, now. So we're going to have him on the line with us. For all you veterans that's out there or families of veterans, if they want to call in and talk to Mr. Mack today, this program that he's a portion of may be very beneficial to you in terms of seeking jobs, homes, and, you know, any kind of problems that you're having. I'm sure that he will be able to address that. If not, we will be able to get you some information and guide you in the direction to seek help. So with that said, I want to wish my nephew, Miguel Lynch, happy birthday. Today is your day. Hopefully before the show is over, I might be able to reach out and touch. But at any rate, I'll be talking to you either during the show or after the show. So let's get the show on the road here.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Geis, welcome. Daniel Clark Network Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Daniel?
Man, awesome, my brother. You know, appreciate you. Glad to have you in my life.
Bless you.
Yes, indeed. Well, today we have got an awesome show coming up. I need to get the rest of our guests here. And we can get the thing started. We can make it do what it do, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's my Ray Charles thing there. You know, make it do what it do, baby. You know. Yeah, so how was your week, brother?
My week has been quite filled.
Oh. Awesome.
They say, if you want a job done, get a busy man. Well, I am definitely a busy man.
Oh, well, I always tell my boy in Atlanta, I want to send a shout out to him today, too, Mr. Raffin Johnston down there. You know, Slow Mo G. And Marquee Records out of Atlanta. And I always say when he say that, he's been real busy. I said, that means that you're making money, brother. See if we can get Mr. Jones on the line here.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, what are you doing in New York?
Daniel Clark Network Radio, New York.
Okay, New York. What's up, Al?
No, actually, I'm in Richmond, but, you know, it would be nice to be in New York.
Well, my phone's in New York, dude. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
So are we ready for radio?
Yeah, we're on radio. You're live here.
Oh, are we?
Mr. Geis. Yes, sir.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mr. Jones.
So how are you doing today, my brother?
I'm fine. Still
good,
standing.
Good.
That's what's
look,
important.
Man, I'm coming out there to Dayton and see if I can get some training on that that axe you got out there.
Well, I can teach
huh?
you. That's for
yeah.
sure.
I'm getting tired of this old acoustic thing over here, you know. And
yeah. Well,
I want to hit some real.
I'm more interested in what you're talking about, man, about these kids, dude.
Oh,
man,
I got
to do something because we have denied these children.
Yeah.
And let's
yeah,
talk it
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
We?
You always say, let's move it on in there.
Move
yeah.
it on in there.
Yeah, man, I was out yesterday. I want to send a shout-out to Miss Clovia. Clovia, she is the Radio 1 DJ here in Richmond, and she had a Reach Back, Reach Up Men's Forum yesterday, in which I attended. And, I mean, she really has some great acts there. I mean, not acts, but great speakers there. had an opportunity to meet a lot of brothers, you know, to include Brother to Brother. You know, that's a program that's sponsored by Mr. Sean Young, and we've got his information, and at some point we're going to be getting him on the station. Also, in Richmond, they are now doing the Moral Mondays, Virginia, in Virginia, the same that they are doing in North Carolina. You know, Reverend Barbara have quite a few started the Moral Mondays there in North Carolina. Now they're extending it here to Virginia. So anyone that's listening, you want any more information about that, you can give us a call, 646-478-4995. But they're doing the Moral Mondays. You can go out and speak truth to power. You can bring your family, your children, your friends, your church members, your pastors. And some of the things that they are focusing on at the Moral Mondays, let me see. Is that somebody running water back there?
Okay, not anymore.
Okay, cool. I think, I'm not sure, but I think that sometimes if you mute your phone, you can do additional things. You can still hear us, I believe. I got to figure out how we can do that. The Moral Mondays in Virginia, and you can, the critical issues is including better health care for all of Virginians, increasing minimum wages to $15 an hour. Hey, that's a good deal.
Great. Yes, sir.
Virginia Unfair and Pantry 200. Felony grand larceny threshold. I might be pronouncing that wrong, paltry, but you can speak on that as well. And the negative impact of war on drugs, improving education, full restoration of voting rights for all. So Moral Mondays, for anyone that want more information, you can go to 804-337-8882. Or you can email moralmondaysvirginia@gmail.com. Virginia, I send a hand out to you. You guys are stepping up. And all men in Central Virginia, save the date for our biweekly man-to-man rap session. Okay, now that's going to be awesome. So I'm going to say that again. For all men in Central Virginia, save the date for our biweekly man-to-man rap session. Join hundreds of other Central Virginia black men on the first and third Monday for very candid discussions, just among men and young men, about issues black men face every day and how to begin dealing with them as a solid group of unified men. Hey, is that awesome or what?
That's awesome, man. You know, I'm agreeing with all that because we here in Ohio, we are definitely listening to you, sir. And I can't wait till you get on Ohio, on our big line, you know.
Absolutely.
But
so,
we must be ever mindful of the fact that, you know, we just got out of slavery 150 years ago.
And,
you know, and mentally we're still slaves.
Well,
by law, we were forbidden. Go ahead.
Marshall, let's not use that term, got out of slavery. We are still in slavery.
Well, I'm sorry if I miscorrected. But I'm just trying to make a point. I'm just saying that, you know, that's our hang-up. We, by law, we're forbidden from learning to read or write. Can't you tell by me with my oratory? Because I wasn't taught correctly how to read and write.
Right.
And the reasons are obvious. Information is power. Information holds the key to freedom from mental and physical bondage. If you deny a people the knowledge of their history and culture, You deny them the ability to develop to their own full potential. And this is why I'm on this station, man, because I want to see us develop. You know, information is power. We must be ever mindful of the fact that the time we have here on Earth provides us with a lifelong opportunity to gather information and use it to improve the quality of our lives.
You're absolutely right, my brother.
It is the responsibility of us as parents, of every adult to know their history and culture, to preserve it and then press it on to the next generation. This is what we don't give our kids. The youth has the responsibility of using the knowledge, assuming their rightful place in history. You see, they don't have these things. This is what we got to do. Information is power. Information provides you with the food for thought necessary for free your mind. And so let's use it.
Yeah, and that was one of the thoughts that was brought up yesterday during that meeting. Also, I want to send a shout out to a young brother that I met yesterday. Will, you might be able to help me out with this. It's spelled E-A-N-J-A-E. E-N-J is what he's calling it. But N-Jan, I ain't even going to try to mess it up, you know. But he has this thing called Art of Hope. And this is a young brother, and he had all his artwork there. Art of Hope, helping others prepare to excel. So we've had some discussion, and he's got some dynamite portraits that we want to discuss at a later date. This weekend have been very powerful. I've met a lot of powerful individuals, a lot of powerful people. We put the concept out there. Marshall, you probably didn't get a chance to see it, but Will, you had an opportunity to view our T-shirt, right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely right.
And by the way, I'm working. In case you're interested, I'm working with some other people on doing a TV talk show.
Okay.
So you might want to keep up with me on that because I got you primed as a candidate.
We'll keep that, but. I may not look as good or sound as good if you can see me.
we'll proud to puff you up and make you look great, man. Don't worry about it.
Man,
it's the message that you kind of get across, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate sending that love, you know. I truly do. Now, fellas.
And this is going to be out of Houston, Texas.
Cool.
Go ahead.
We have two facilities to start training. So one of the facilities holds from 40 up to 1,000 people. The other one, pretty much around 40, but we've got on the north side of Richmond, we have a facility for the community and that area around the north side of Richmond. Then we have a facility over here on the south side of Richmond. So I'm tapping into the community and starting to let people know that we are available and that we're putting together some programs, even though we're not quite there yet. But with the right amount of fundings and with the right amount of individuals, we can move this thing to the next step. So, guys, if you give me a minute, I'm going to put Shay on here, and we're going to get our guests on the line, which is Mr. Henry Mack, and he is with Veterans, Helping Veterans. He is a 30-year retired Navy vet. So we're going to get this brother on the line while we key Shay in here. Anybody interested in Shay, you can pick that CD up at Shay.com. Young Lady is Bad.
Open up your eyes. Hello?
Yes, Mr. Mack.
Speaking.
How you doing today? This is Daniel Clark with Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground, a sponsor of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, and I have online Mr. Marshall Jones, bass player from the Ohio Players.
All right.
And
how are
also
you, sir?
We have Mr. Wibbert Geist, which is the director of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. And
Okay. Guys,
this is Mr. Mack, and Mr. Mack works with the Veterans, helping veterans now. And I had the great opportunity of talking with this brother yesterday, and we share some of the same vision. His area is working with veterans, and our area is working with the kids or young adults and veterans, because I am a veteran, and Mr. Geist is a veteran, and Mr. Marshall, you're a veteran, too. You just fought a different war, brother.
All right.
Okay.
I'm
so,
in there swinging, my partner.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today?
I'm fine, sir. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, I want you to just take the floor, man, and just, you know, just lay it out there for the veterans and, you know, for anyone that's listening and anyone want to call in. The number is 646-478-4995. And, Mr. Mack, I already want to commit you for next week because we met yesterday. We threw you into this thing. So we really haven't had a chance to promote it and advertise, but next week, I want to make next week where we can let veterans know that we are here and see if we can have more veterans get involved and call in and ask questions or give information or however we can set that format up. And I think it's a good thing that we start including more veterans to participate in this project we got going on. So with that said, we're going to give you the floor.
Okay, thank you, sir. Hello to everyone, and thanks for your service. I'll give you a little overview of my background. As mentioned, my name is Henry Mack. I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. Did 5 combat tours in Vietnam. The first we were doing Rolling Thunder up on Yankee Station in the South China Sea of Vietnam. Then when Admiral Zumwalt decided to bring the Brown Water Navy, I did 4 combat tours, working with the SEALs, Special Forces, the patrol boats, swift boats. But the thing is, growing up in New Jersey, I won the New Jersey State Wrestling and pretty decent in athlete and industrial arts. But the thing is, I didn't get any scholarship. So I had reached a saturation point, and this is very important to young people and to seasoned people. Once you reach a saturation point, you got to go and do something else. Because if not, in New Jersey, New York, the drug scene was starting to heat up. So I joined the Navy, and when I got out of the Navy, I was sent to Virginia Union. That's how I ended up in Richmond, majored in business, and managed and operated a construction sportswear. But growing up in Jersey back in the day, I guess the Ohio Player can tell you, we all was trying to get our exploits on in music. Of course, George Clinton in the Parliament, Funkadelics was from Plainfield, but I left George.
Right.
But the one key is, and I tell a person, it's better to do nothing to do something wrong. and we got to put our thinking cap on. And our thinking cap is what is best and how we can maximize our talents but protect our reputation, credibility. A lot of us are incarcerated or have felons. A lot of us have run our credit, our DMV, and child support. And those were some tough things I had to deal with and wrestle with. But I think my parents, both my mother and father, they always said it's better to do nothing than to do wrong. So coming back to the world, it was hostile. I mean, when we hit L.A., Watts was burning. When I flew back to the East Coast, Newark was burning because of the riots in Plainfield. But the thing is, I had to sort out a way. So when I filed a claim for benefits in 68, it was 98. So how do you live or provide for your family or yourself in 30 years? But most of us old guns, some way, we had mental toughness and we were able to get through it. But if you look at a lot of the young guns coming out of Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of substance abuse, and a lot of homelessness. We have a lot of veterans that are homeless. We have a lot of veterans with bad discharges. And we have a lot of veterans struggling with health issues, mental and physical. So veteran helping veteran means now, no other way, we got your back. And that's the American way. We take care of those that ensured democracy and protected the American way of life. But we have an obligation to ourselves, to our community, to our economics. And when you look at veterans, we have been true, tried, and tested. We have a lot of leadership skills. We have discipline, and we understand promptness. So with this radio, we can communicate on a broad spectrum, passing the word on, getting feedback, and then being able to help veterans. See, in Vietnam, it was mostly men. The new wars are both male and female. So that has a double impact on our family.
Right.
And coming out of Vietnam, that herbicide has affected not only the veteran, his wife or significant others, and the children. And that's an issue we got to deal with. But the main thing, how do we develop economics? And how do we love each other? How do we respect each other? How do we help each other? And the one thing is, you know, hey, brothers, just like you and I met. And that's true economics, that's true brotherhood, and that's true pure community engagement. Okay, put all our little titles and professionalism to the side. Let's get together, focus on the issue.
Can I jump in here just for a second?
Sure, go right ahead.
The place that we were at yesterday, and I looked at this in entire forum, and it was very well put together, but it's once a year. Do you think that we can organize and do this thing once a month?
Hey, amen, brother. That's what we need, because there's such a long time in between a form of this nature. Now, that Style Weekly I gave you, that's the building I have over in Southside that we're going to start renovating and working on. But we could start having meetings there once a month. That ain't going to cost us anything. We make the necessary preparation where a person can be comfortable, look at the health needs. But the main thing is we can talk to a couple organizations that will help underwrite it, and we can bring different agents in. But the key is, I love that concept. If we can do it every month and tell each person to come, bring some know-how, some knowledge that we can utilize to build. We probably ought to identify four or five issues. And I'm going to say this all ears again. With veterans helping veterans, we work with the felons, both military and non-military, to their health straight and get them some money. If they need a claim, we help them file it. If they are disabled, we go to Social Security. And we're working with the Virginia Employment Commission to try to find jobs for people. Now, a lot of people with felons, I don't care how much time you serve, you're never going to get any respect. You're going to keep on serving. And what do I mean by continue to serve? If you can't get a job and you still penalized, so you're still serving in some capacity from that infraction 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But I work with West Department of Labor. We can bring them in and talk about some things. But I have a space over, a potential space over at Goodwill Industry. We can bring these spaces up, and we'll start having the forum. I really subscribe to that, brother. I love that concept.
Right, right. Yeah, because, I mean, once a year, and I understand that individuals want to, you know, kind of dip in and dip out. But see, you dip in, you feed us a little, and then you dip out, and where did we go?
We're back at the same place. That's what you call a feel-good.
Right, right. Well, we don't need a feel-good. We need some real action, and I'm suggesting that we do this once a month and that we work both the south side and the north side, or it doesn't matter where the veteran is, or it doesn't matter who the individual is, whether it's someone that have served in the military or someone that's out here that have been incarcerated or just gotten out of school and can't find a job. The fact of it is that we really need to pay attention to all aspects of black men in terms of employment and in terms of, you know, doing something that we can do to better our community and to take care of our family. So I think once a month, bringing that together and putting together various different programs. Now, you got quite a few programs that you're working on. Mr. Geis, I want to bring you in here for a second. A lot of the programs that Mr. Mack is working on fits directly into what we're attempting and trying to do, but I think he is more in touch with the individuals and we're more in touch with the training. So if you can kind of elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, first of all, what I'd love to say is that I wrote a paper in school about 3 or 4 years ago, about 4 years ago, specifically dealing with the issue of veterans helping veterans. And I believe that the concept of veterans helping veterans blends perfectly with helping to save our children. Because essentially what you have here is that the veteran has been trained in discipline. And when we're talking about our kids, we're talking about that we need to pass a discipline on to them.
That's right.
Now within the concept of veterans helping veterans, what we have to understand is this. We don't need congressional approval to patronize veteran businesses, and we don't need congressional approval for those veteran businesses to feed something back into the community.
That's right.
And so what we have to establish is a viral network whereby veteran businesses understand it is important to them to support the veteran cause, and as they support the veteran cause, where those veterans' businesses feedback and give something back into the community.
Absolutely.
And once we can set up that network, when it was essentially appraised about 4 or 5 years ago when I put this idea out in school, is that they projected that we should be able to generate $500 billion to be able to be of assistance. You see, when we talk about veterans' benefits, and most of us who are talking about veterans' benefits, what we're talking about is waiting for a handout from the VA, that we assume that we're going to receive something from the Veterans Administration that puts us in a position that we are made whole. We have to get out of that mindset and into the mindset that we are people who spend money, whether it be $200 a month or whether it be $10,000 a month or more. What we have to understand is that revenue is something that we can direct. This is a part of why today you have the African-American community in a position where it's in, where the N-word cannot be used. It's because of the dollars that they have directed in certain directions that gives them the ability to say, you're going to listen to us and we're going to be heard. And I'm saying that the veteran community must begin to come together and unify. One of the most important things that was done when you became a part of the military and you began to go out to prepare for the battles that you would be fighting is that the first thing, as they taught you, is that you are a unit, one unit, and that you must stand together and that you must fight the battle as if you are a complete unit. And that's what has to be established here, is that we have to understand that we are a unit.
That's the one thing need to be the top priority. Brother, you touched on it. Unity. Unity. And that's one thing we do not stick together or work together. Now, you mentioned a couple other things. Right. When you talk about business, I'm going to give these and you can continue on. One, if you're a disabled veteran, you have a business, there is dollars set aside for veterans, disabled veterans. That's an opportunity we need to explore. The other thing is where I'm from, Jersey, they give a veteran a free vending license to sell their goods. Now, once we get together, we probably should do a planning session. Once we do the planning session, we identify the things that we're going to pursue. One thing needs to be unity. Another thing, we need to create economics. We go to the SBA. We're already talking to the U.S. Department of Labor, and we'll let them intercede and run interfere with us. Okay. Because once it take off, everybody going to want to get on the bandwagon. And I like what the brother said. We should have. Go ahead.
Let me make a quick suggestion before you continue. Well, Will and Marshall, I want to bring you in here at some point because we're dealing with the veteran issues, but we got some other issues that's out there that I'm sure that you're going to be able to help us with. But what I was going to suggest, we got a lot of disabled vets that have that opportunity, that have never explored having their own business. We need to set up businesses for these vets. If they don't know how, we need to. Every disabled vet, like the natives, they have a set aside. They don't even have to compete. All they have to do is to have a business, and the government gives them that. We need to work with all of the disabled, especially the 100% disabled vets, create businesses for them.
That's right.
Well, the set-asides are already there. Again, the word that we consistently use and that we have to understand is so important is unification or unity. because within the context of unity, we communicate to one another and we lift each other up.
Right.
And as we lift each other up, then we're in a position to be able to lift our children up. And what's
true.
Key, where the part that Marshall plays in this is this, is that we have to understand that the reason a slave is still a slave after however many years we have declared that the slave is free is because of what's going on in their head.
Absolutely.
We have to change what's going on in their head, meaning we have to change the verbiage that they use that is cool, that is normal, that is everyday, into something that is uplifting. And as I spoke with you, Daniel, about what I refer to as the game, where I tell mm-hmm. you that you have money. You have always had money. You will always have money. And money flows to you like the waters of Niagara Falls. Is that we have to understand that the conditioning in our music must change, the conditioning mm-hmm. in our conversation must change, so that we condition not our conscious mind, but our subconscious mind to understand that we are a force that's moving forward in a direction that is where we want to be. We have to call things that be not as though they were, meaning we have to condition our minds to that this is the reality that we are creating today. And eventually, when that day gets here, that will be the reality that we experience that day. Just like James Brown, as I consistently say, was so important for the civil rights movement because he said, say it loud.
I'm black
and I'm proud.
All right.
Okay. Martin spoke of all the things he spoke about. But he didn't have the conditioning impact upon the people that said loud, I'm black and I'm proud. And because those people or the people begin to feel good about themselves
mm-hmm.
based off of that conditioning. And so, as I say, Marshall is a key important ingredient in that because we need to change the music that is communicated to our community.
Absolutely.
Once we change,
and I agree.
Go ahead.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, we as black people, we're a group of people who take their most precious possessions, that's our children, and ask our oppressors to educate them and mold them and shape their minds. This is where we have to, in my opinion, start to educate our children. You know, because we got this Eurocentric view that America is great because of God's blessing. In reality, this country emerged as an economic power because of the 400 years of free slave labor. I mean, if you work for me 400 years free, I'm going to be on top.
That's
right.
We're
always talking about this is the greatest nation and we the greatest in all these things. But what do we own in this country?
That's right.
Only thing we got is the church. And I think that's where we need to approach the church to understand that we don't need prayer. We need action.
That's right.
That's my opinion.
Now, speaking on that note, and I, you know, a lot of times I listen, I may not say anything, but I'm bringing together a board of ministers.
Oh, right.
I had a meeting with one today to hook that together so that I'm going before, you know, five or six head of churches, and we're going to start because one of the things, and Will, you explain that, and then after hooking up with Trinity Family Center, I was able to get some information on how and the boundaries of churches go. And what this minister did was he had a certain boundary that he could go as a church, but he built an outreach center. So now for what he couldn't do at that church or couldn't say, now he can do it at that outreach center. So
okay.
I'm bringing together ministers so that we can have that same conversation with them in dialogue so that
okay.
they can take that conversation
okay.
back to their congregation because
okay.
that's where we're reaching our mothers, mostly our mothers, our fathers, and our kids. So
Absolutely.
We're going to have to connect into that system in order to make this work because they can carry that word a little bit further because they know every Sunday that congregation is going to be there. We might
they
do a concert here. Huh?
They have the audience is what you're saying.
Correct.
Right. Right. So, Marsha, I'm working on that, and soon I'm hoping October is when the board start back meeting. By that time, we should have organized and put everything in perspective where we can actually guide people to our website, where we can actually guide people to our training courses and things of that nature. Now, Mr. Mack, one of the things that I discussed with you, and you haven't had a chance to, but right now we have put together an infrastructure that makes money and should generate money, what they say, residual income, in
okay.
two different ways. One is with our website. We have individuals designing clothing from bow ties to vests, gowns. You know, they're putting their heads together. We have a fashion store, and Miss Carr, which may be on with us soon, Miss Carr, which has got 35 years in doing what she do, and she is our director of fashions, and she's working with getting other designers and other people in. And right now we have about 35, 45 garments designed to put on the website. Now, check this out. Every garment that's sold from that fashion store, a percentage of it goes into the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, which houses that we got to do something to save our children. And
Amen,
under that
brother.
Program is where our training began. And I'm going to mention it again. We have structured cabling. That's basically hooking up computer networks, telephone networks. It is servicing all your retail stores, Walmart, CVS. I mean, these people, they need people every day. Two is electrical, both residential and commercial. And you mentioned that you have a construction company.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That electrical, well, the whole structured cabling, the electrical, it all fits right into what you already do. If you have a construction company, then every aspect of what I've designed as our trades, you're already familiar with.
Correct.
Okay. So with that said, you have the background and you can help us get into some situations properly much easier because of your background. And I've got 25
okay.
years structured cabling, so I can do outside plant, inside plant, underground, manhole, 18-story buildings or a house. It doesn't matter. So those are trades right there. And to extend this a little bit further, in the position that you are in, you know, Department of Defense and all of these government organizations, they build new buildings every day. I have a white associate out here in Cary, North Carolina. That's a woman-owned business, and every building that's being built in Washington, D.C., Department of Defense, she have 15 or 20 people up there working at $26 an hour under the David Beacon Act, cannot work for less than $26 an hour. Now,
that's
if
true.
If she's doing it, why can't we do it?
Absolutely. Now, let's go back, and I'm going to try to address some of the things. Now, I worked with Walmart. We were working on putting some merchandise, go to Bentonville, Arkansas. Once you design the merchandise, some of the electronic stuff, we put a package together on the Veteran Network, a Veteran Enterprise, a VHV, go to Bentonville. And when you talk about apparel, arena sportswear, we work primarily the historical black colleges, Virginia Union, all of the CIAA and couple in the SWAC. And if your company, and we can produce T-shirts, shorts, sweatshirts, sweatpants. The military schools on Fort Lee, every school go in there, each student day, a short T-shirt, sweatshirt, and a sweatpants. That project is about $300,000 or $400,000 a year. It may be greater than that. But this was back in the 90s when I was working that. The other thing is we can set up a situation on Fort Lee and the military installation. Once we start planning, we was called, do that in the marketing. We have a black general over there, and I've worked with them at Fort Lee. But the thing is, we can also bring our youth into the equation.
Right.
With the bank, we need to teach them how to bank, how to budget, how to write a check, and how to stay within their means. And we probably can come back to the player, the Ohio player, and he is very true. Back in the day, the music was about love, romance, how to treat a woman, things. Now it is demeaning our women and our community. And that's in part who control the purse, control the tone of the music. Some rappers have good rap, but they never hit the radar because it's a subliminal thing. If you keep pumping negative thoughts to us, we'll start acting negative.
Exactly.
So
no, our problem, not to cut you off.
Sure, go right ahead, bro.
The worst thing that you can do to a person is rob them of their African culture or their history.
That's
this
right.
This is our problem. You know, we're just coming out of slavery, what, 150 years? Well, you know, it was a time when we couldn't learn to read or write.
Absolutely.
So we all the things we ingested is what they taught us. And now we, you know, if you look at TV today, you see a lot of black folks on there doing a lot of things, man. And they don't realize it. Their illusion of inclusion, that's what I call it. The professionals call it post-traumatic slave syndrome. You know, we still think and act like a slave mentally because we do not know our history. You know, the Washington and the monuments and all that stuff, that's all black history. You know, you got the on the dollar bill, you got the pyramid with the Ahab Heru, who was later on in history brought into Jesus Christ. You know, you got the lines and the meridians in Washington D.C. laid out according to African concept. You got the Washington Monument. That's the penis that Mary didn't get. That's African.
Right.
So we got to learn this so we can teach our children, because our children are coming up in these schools and they don't have no reference point to relate to. And so they act out what we should have taught them. And it's detrimental to our going into the 21st century. And if we're not careful and we don't stop and correct this pathology, I call it, we are going to be eliminated. You know, they're putting up structures in the United States today in the image of the swastika on American soil, putting up buildings on American soil, laid out in the form of the swastika. You know, so we need to wake up.
Well, I'd like to add the fact that, first of all, because I study the ancient writings, that I know that we will not be eliminated, that we will be victorious in the end, and that we will hold the highest post there are to hold when all is said and done. But I do also understand that, you know, the things that we talk about in terms of education are important, but what we have to concentrate on is conditioning, because what we have been is conditioned over a number of years to think that we cannot, we are not, and we will not be. That's not a reality that is true. That's not a reality that we need to continue to condition ourselves in. And
but it's the discomfort for these kids. Because I talk to them all day. You know what they tell me? Mr. Marshall, I don't expect to live to see 30. I'm already dead. What do you tell a child that talks to you like that?
Well, my only response would be
thinking disorder.
Well, again, it would be the exact opposite. It would be that you are great, that you have a long life before you, and that you must understand that your time is now, and that your time is also the future in terms of the benefits that you're going to receive as a result of you understanding that your time is now.
Because they've
been conditioned to think what they think. And
so that we got to
recondition them to understand a different reality.
Right.
That's and right.
Have to give them some marching orders. What do I mean by marching order? We don't plan to fail, but so often we fail to make a plan. And I like your piece about the youth. That's an ongoing and a perpetuating initiative.
Now,
which piece is
that?
The youth, our youth, young people.
Okay.
And in that concept, we got to show them our weary path. And I can give you an example. My daughter, 30 years old, and she was in elementary school. And during Black History Month, they showed the Birmingham Edmund Pettus Bridge. And some of the little white kids say, "Our people were mean to your people." So my daughter said, "Daddy, when did all of this happen?" So there's been a phase of history that has been put on the back burner, placed in dormancy. We got to teach and we got to explain. And the brother just said once a year, that is not cutting it. We can't eat one meal a year. We got to feed our kids positive information. We got to lay a plan out. And even some of us old dudes, because we are set in our ways and we are struggling a little bit. We haven't demonstrated stewardship over our blessings and our resources, our talents. We got to work on it every day. And once we get together and plan a session, all of these things should be in it. When I talk to a veteran, veterans have been veterans, I look at the whole man. What are your spiritual values? That's a man, when the heat come on, are you going to freak out, or do you have the strength to make some adjustment and get through that tough period? Two, have you planned for the rainy day? Planning, budgeting, exercising, keeping your body strong, keeping your mind strong. Then we go into, okay, what kind of sins have you committed? What you mean? Do you have a felon? Have you been to jail? Well, I said, look, come straight with me. The good thing's not going to hurt you, but it's the bad. We tend to hide some of our frailties and bad things. And guy go to work 6 months, they do a check on him, say, look, you misrepresented this application, they fire him. But if we can come working with our kids, working with the family, working with the community, and then take an inventory of all the talent that we have within and put a plan together to exercise that every day.
Now, one of the other things, and I want to jump in, Mr. Mack, because, see, I'd stayed in D.C. for 46 years. 46 years I lived in D.C. Things got kind of slow with my business there, you know, got a divorce and just wanted to change the atmosphere. So I decided I would go back home. Now, the mentality in North Carolina is the same mentality after being gone for that many years, not, you know, visiting, but after not living there for such a long time, the mentality is the exact same. Matter of fact, it is worse. So I want to bring something to everybody's attention. I have two things. Second-degree misdemeanor, one, and DUI. Okay? Now, both of these incidents, even though it is a misdemeanor, Bush and Cheney, they passed a law called the...
Strikes and you're out.
Now, it's... public trust clearance. So then you got all the other clearances, but the public trust clearance prevents you from getting a federal, state, local, or government job for 7 years. You're walking down the street, some dude run up to you and, you know, challenged you, and you're protecting yourself. You get the best of this individual, you go to court, and are found guilty or whatever the case may be of this incident, protecting yourself, now you got to deal with that public trust clearance. And I tell you, it just kicked me out of an opportunity just 2 weeks ago. So the other side of this equation is that we got to start policing the police and policing the system.
Yeah, can I key in on a little bit of that? Because, you know, I have what would be a federal felony on my record that has had some impact, but it hasn't had the level of impact that they wanted it to have. And what was important was not what they did, but how I thought about what they did, meaning I understood that the whole idea behind the illegal proceeding that they placed me in to attach this federal conviction to me was designed not only to identify me as someone that they wanted to have induce hardship on, but also it was designed for me mentally to be conditioned to this. See, what you have to understand is the system is designed to have you placed in the wrong, and if they choose to, they can place you in the right. By that I mean,
they ain't gonna do that.
Well, sometimes they do because it's in their interest.
The greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I would not assume the position of the oppressed. And because I would not assume the position of the oppressed, I said, I don't care what it is that you have identified, whether it be a bad conduct discharge, whether it be a dishonorable discharge, whether it be a felony conviction, I'm not buying it. I'm going to think that if I present my case to you and you like the case that I present to you, you will look past all of that. And so
but
my
see,
experience... Go ahead.
See, that's on an individual basis, and I understand exactly what you're saying, because I have to go out and create jobs, you know, and that's probably why I'm where I'm at right now. But my point is this. After this incident, I went to 5 different courthouses on 5 different occasions in 5 different communities in North Carolina. And 90% of everyone in that courthouse was black or Hispanic. So then it came to my mind, is do other people drink alcohol or in other communities? I mean, because all I see here is black folks. My question is this. Is there any of these individuals that is making or doing any of these crimes? Well, probably so, but being that you racial profile our neighborhood, that means that on your 8-hour shift, instead of spending 4 hours on the white neighborhood or the middle class or the rich neighborhood, you spend all your time in the black neighborhood, then what do you get?
Well, I agree with that. And all I'm saying to you is this, is that when you fall into that category, what you have to understand is the presentation that you make at the next level of if it's a job opportunity that you're going to has to be a little bit more smoothly orchestrated to the point that they want the services that you can provide before you position yourself to give them that information. See, because it's all about me and what I want as a company. And so what I'm saying to you is that you can't throw out the fact that you have the DUI or the other thing or the other thing, because you said there's a 7-year period that's involved. If they want you bad enough, they told the probation department in California when I moved to California, they said, we will pay whatever money he owes. They were offering me about $1 million a year. We will pay whatever money he owes. We just want him. Now, of course,
that's a one in a million. That's a one in a million situation you got there, my brother.
Well, listen, all I'm saying to you is this. It's because of my mind, and that's what we have to understand. Just like you were conditioned to be a slave, it's because of my mind that the one in a million situation was presented. Now, the probation department would not allow the transaction to take place. And I could have fought that particular situation, and I chose to for reasons that we won't go into at this particular point in time. But what I'm saying to you is that when I tag you, I'm tagging you not only to tag you socially and professionally, but I'm tagging you to get inside your head. I'm tagging you so that you can think that you can't accomplish this, that this is something, a door that has been closed to you. Just like if I were going to go to a place and seek employment, I would do a full disclosure. Yes, this is the case. Yes, I have that problem. Because as I communicate to you that I have that problem, you're in a position where you have the opportunity to reject me or accept me, but I'm going to do it in such a way that I'm going to let you know, first of all, that you want the services that I can provide because I'm the best. And then after I convince you of that, then I'm going to say, well, here's another matter we need to deal with. And then is when I would bring up whatever my issue is in terms of whatever my challenge or problem is as to why you may want to reject me. But I've already sold you on the idea that you want me. And what I'm saying to you is this, that the conditioning is the idea behind the tagging. Is I want you to feel, long before the tagging is over, I want you to feel that you cannot move forward and that you might as well accept defeat. There's one way that's guaranteed for you to fail every time, is that before you begin, you've already accepted failure. And so you need to condition yourself that failure is not there for you, that success is there for you, and then that way you will at least put forth effort And that effort will be found and rewarded based off the fact that you're not accepting failure.
Okay, one thing we need to do, the way I work it, I do research, bring the person in, interview him, and with the capability of recording these different incidents, we should record a sundry of different infractions. Once we nail that down, we start preparing the people, the ones that have felons or infractions. But I go to different agencies, and I talk to them. Say, look, we have some veterans we want to hire. What is your policy? Then we can talk about what is required to hire this veteran. Certain states provide a bond for a felon. Guy come out of jail, if he get a job and he get connected through the process, they'll say, well, you're bondable, and this prospective employer would hire you. But most of us, when we get ready to be liberated, man, I ain't got time to fool with this here. We want to get there on the street. And sometimes we go back to our old trick, self-medicating, getting high, and raising hell. And then when the lights come on, we want to get a job, we write back frustration, we do that unintelligent stuff, rob or whatever we're doing, and we're back in the system. But we can also start going to the courts of different municipalities. We have a drug court and a criminal court, C.T. Woody, the high sheriff that was there, he is willing to talk, and maybe we can talk to the Commonwealth Attorney. But that's how we're going to do that wholesale, not individually, because you go up, one individual go there, they make an example out of him. And right. A lot of times when we go to get that J.O.B., we need it yesterday. Good so we have financial obligation, frustration set in. Sometimes we fall right back in that vicious cycle, getting high or whatever we're doing. And we're going to get emotional. Man, you know, I'm going to do this for my family. I don't care. I raise my hands to God. And I tell a man, look, brother, emotion only counts during the moment of truth. When you, in the moment of truth, get emotional as you can, but other than that, have a level head. In fact, drink some ice water. Be cool.
All right.
And the thing is, you touched on a very important point, brother, when you said we need to meet once a month. We also need to get together, plan agenda. One, employment, felonies, and all of the inequities we have, but most of all, get a good record of the guys that are veterans.
Right,
because
right,
man, some of us had some heck of a hell of a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And what Dangerfield said, we got no respect.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Have a lot of success stories, combat, but we don't talk about it. So when I talk to a guy, oh, well, man, you know, so-and-so, I said, wait a minute. Where were you stationed? Oh, I was in Iraq. Oh, I was at the burn pit. I said, that's why you're having the coughing problem. But these are little techniques. I mean, these are methodologies that we learn and we can fix. See, we can do two things. When we're talking to the felon, we're collecting information. Then when we go, we're going to say, look, hey, out of 100 veterans, people with felons, none of them have been able to be gainfully employed. Then you break it down. This guy was hired till they found out he had a felon. Hell, they didn't fire him because he had the felon. The man was doing good. Somebody got jealous of him, or he took a stand and they got rid of him. So when they checked the records, and if you didn't indicate this, because in Richmond they said take the felon box off of the application. Are you a felon? So,
hey guys, I'm gonna do something right quick. I'm gonna give y'all an example, or just this is in my mind because, you know, Marshall, as we always talk, is that everything that we want to do is going to cost money. Now, even though we got the fashion designs that's coming up, we got the T-shirts that's coming out, and I was talking to Will, we're going to try to do a young entrepreneur program with these T-shirts, whereas a young individual, instead of selling crack cocaine for $10, he can sell a T-shirt for $5. Don't have to worry about the man looking over him. But we will give these guys some incentive. They will be someplace, a scholarship or whatever. But I was listening to this young brother today, and he was saying that he had to leave a certain school because he couldn't afford it or his grandparents could afford it. And if you get a kid at, you know, 7 or 8, 9 years old and they're pushing these T-shirts, they're making $5, then we're going to teach them that entrepreneurship and how to save, as Mr. Mack was saying, and we'll monitor those kids. By the time they get 17, 18, they should have a few thousand dollars in the bank. And Marshall, I was talking to you. I was talking to you about that, and I was saying I want to use celebrities to put on the face of these T-shirts with our concept and eventually have these T-shirts all over the United States under our concept. In order for that kid to be in this program, there's a certain rules, regulations, and guidelines, bylaws that they're going to have to promise us that they're going to do. One is that not selling drugs, not carrying weapons, and things of that nature. That's one thought, but the other thought is that this particular place holds 1,000 individuals. It
okay.
have a dynamite. They have a dynamite stage already there. It have well, the sound system. I'm not even into that portion of it, but it's got a beautiful lighting system. Now, at $17, $17 a ticket, you're looking at $17,000.
Okay.
Now, Is that 17,000 or 1,700? That's $17,000.
That's 17,000. If you can occupy 1,000, that would be 17,000.
Now,
can I jump in here and make a statement of thoughts?
Okay.
Now, you know, of course, I'm retired now, but I'm the OL player that wore the turban. I'm the one that played on all the hits. Now, I have a lot of friends in this business who, as a matter of fact, is a little company, a little outfit, and I'm going to share that with you soon. What they have done, they have organized and promoting concerts at fairgrounds and small venues, but it's at least 10,000. Morris Day, The Time, Ohio Players, Bootsy Collins, Some Function, Cameo, all these groups have agreed to do this, and they are booked up until September. But they are more interested in 10,000 seats or up. Now, when you talk about a thousand seater, it's hard for them to see any profit from that.
Well, see, what we're going to have to do, Marshall, see, we have to get to that $10,000 venue. So I want to use this 1,000, this place that holds 1,000. I want to use this to get us to.
I understand you. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure any of these groups going to come in there for 1,000 seater.
Right,
you feel
right,
me?
Right.
So what I'm trying to say
yeah.
to you is, you know, they're doing these one-nighters, and they're traveling around the country. Now on a passover deal, in other words, on the way to a date that's going to net 10,000 people where they can get paid, They may stop and do 1,000 dates. I'm working at that.
I've got some groups. I've got some groups like the Intruders and you know, Ernie Fields, the Winstons, and I have a few groups that is at that level. But somehow we're going to have to start. Now, I would like to do Amari's Day or, you know, one of the other groups, but I already know that you're going to start at $5,000 and above to even start talking to these guys. But I have several acts. Yeah, I have several acts that can Roy C will pack them up, you know. So it's a few acts.
Okay.
It's a few acts out there that we can utilize to do a few concerts, you know, to get to that point where we can do the bigger shows. And then once we do the bigger shows, we can start hitting every state, you know. But
I'm
somehow we got to
see you.
Hmm?
Okay, that makes sense. Well, one thing, if you sit down, and I agree with the brother, if you can start small, and if we can get some sponsors, but we're going to have to lay our presentation out right. So we're working with youth, and this is what we're going to do. One, we're going to teach them entrepreneurship, how to be a business person, how to save money, how to go to the bank and work with a couple banks. Say, hey, Mr. Banker, this is what we're going to do. Fair exchange is not a stick-up. We're going to have these young people come in, put dollars, and you may end up with $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in a year or two, but what can you do for us? From there, off to the popo. Say, hey, Mr. Popo, you got all kind of crime. We're going to work with the youth. We got to choke that vicious cycle off, that pipeline that's feeding and breathing crime. We're going to do some activities, and this is what we want to do. We just don't want to give a brother a loaf of bread and a fish.
We have reached the voice mailbox of 937.
I'm sorry,
five,
go ahead.
Two, seven,
somehow Marsha dropped out.
9170.
So go ahead, continue.
Okay, the thing I'm saying is we want to start working and tracking, I mean, working and following this young person for at least 5 or 10 years. At least till they become a young man, a young woman, go to school, or trade, and become self-sufficient. And I think we'll win more, have more successes. But as we do this, we can launch strong in Richmond, then we can go around the country. New Jersey, where I'm from, I'm talking to some guys. They are trying to put our veteran piece together, and there's a lot of strong veterans. I got some brothers on the West Coast that I've helped with their claims, career in Vietnam and North Carolina, some on the out west in the Midwest. But once we get a strong base, and with the veteran group, and why are we doing this? That's the question. We are doing this because, hey, we left at a young age. Most of us probably were in our teens, the early 20s, when we joined the military.
Yeah.
So we come back. Some of us have mental, physical condition. Others have substance abuse. So we never got on track. And sometimes we got tired of being being on skid row or struggling with drugs or unemployment. We finally moved in another direction. But if we can lay this out and start working with the youth and veterans, the whole family, we can't just work with the boy or girl. We got to have the family in check. Because when I work with people, I say, hey, who all is in the game? I say, well, I can get you paid. I say, if you're struggling with drugs, you're going back in the same direction. Or if you have a significant other and she's out there doing the funny thing, she's going to pull you right back in that maze of trouble and problems. So you got solid approach. You got to work with the whole family. And then the church would say, look, we got to have that spiritual value. A lot of time we don't believe in spiritual until we get in trouble and you think we James Brown. Please, 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 Lord, if you can get me out of this. But we never take time to give thanks for a blessing. Sometimes, and you check this out, most of the churches, they talking about, well, this brother was suffering. He stayed out all night. Why can't we give some thanks for some good things? Life is bad, but it's not always bad.
Right.
That mind change. As a man thinketh, so will he or she be. We got to start thinking positive. We got the plan. We got the budget. We got to work together. And we got to look at longevity. Because some of the things our parents used to tell us, hold on to this here. One day it's going to be worth something. And we've all have heard that. But in other words, they didn't know all of the right terminology, but they recognized this piece of property, if you hold on to it, one day as the city grow and develop, you're going to be right there center stage. Now, but when we definitely need to get together again, or either the next time we talk, be making some notes on the different things. Once we develop our committees, how many issues we want to pursue. One, we talk about the youth. Two, we talk about unity. How do we work together? How do we respect each other? How do we love each other? How do we parlay, utilizing our knowledge to build and bring a stronger organization together? And then how do we engage the community, the business organization? And the one thing I used to go say, look, I'm here, I present myself. I said, well, if you ever have a need, call me. So the guy said, is that all you want? The first job was a $300 job, but over the long haul, I ended up with a $50,000-plus annual contract. And this was full of Mars. Anytime they needed some work done, especially during stockholder, and when they shut the plant down, go on coal line. But the thing is, we have the knowledge, we have the desire, the passion. If we have the burning desire, we get together on one accord, lay it out, plan it, think about it, and it'll move. And like I said, that building over in Southside, we can start there, and if we need to go inside, I'll see about getting Goodwill Industry. So therefore, this is a start. And the brother with the Ohio Players, hey, if we can start on some small events, raising money, and then get the kids, and then go to some of the military installations. Hey, we are veterans, and we need an opportunity.
I'm sorry, guys. I was trying to get, we had a Mr. Jones dropped out on us, so I'm working on getting him back on the line.
Okay.
So I kind of missed what you had just said.
Well, I think it's important, as you mentioned, the veterans organizations, or at least veterans in general, that we work with the military itself, and of course, being from the Marine Corps, my view is that we look for some sponsorship from the Marine Corps to assist these young people. And the reason why I say that is because these young people have been conditioned over a period of time. And if they're 18 or 19 years old or 20 years old, that we use a system that has been very effective over the years of teaching them some discipline and engaging in some conditioning for them to understand that what we're going to take them through the aid of and sponsorship of the Marine Corps, is that we're going to take them through some disciplines that's going to affect them in a positive way as they move forward in life. I was raised very, very poor in a home with a single parent. And the things that the Marine Corps did for me is that it helped me understand that, as Clark said earlier, that I had to develop a one-in-a-million mindset, meaning, okay, this is the situation that you're bringing me into, but I'm not going to allow you to condition me to the negative. I'm going to condition myself that because of my training that I have experienced, that I can overcome this objective that you put before me, this negative objective that you put before me, and that now is my time, and that I can move forward and overcome this. And I think that's what we're dealing with our children, is because we have established the fact they have been conditioned into the mindsets that they have been conditioned into, we have to condition them into a better mindset. And that's the key to victory, is to condition them, because they've already been conditioned, is to condition them into a better mindset where they have to understand that they have been prepared for this specific moment here, for the greatness that is before them, so for them to be able to move forward.
Right. Hey, Will.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Mack.
I agree with you on that. But you know what? You being a Marine, what they say, simplify.
Simplify. Simplify the Dallas.
That's right.
Okay.
What we should do, let's follow this script for a minute. If we could talk to the Marine Corps and they get their blessing, they say, yes, we'll work with you. Then I would meet in the hood over there in the war zone where the place is. And the kids come by and say they want to do something. A lot of them probably have very little at home. Once we talk to them, we go talk to the parents. But we got to have something for that parent, because we can work with that young kid 8 hours, he go home, he back in the same thing. Well, what I'm saying with this here, then we can write LeBron James or some of those guys, show them what we're doing and see if they will give some support. If we can't monetarily, let's say if you're having a game and there's a local team, can you invite the kids or give them some tickets to the game? Let them be ball board. But then continue to teach them discipline, mental toughness. Those are the things. And some kind of career. Then they could show them some of the things you had to do in the Marine. They'll look at you and say, wow, you were able to do this? And see, we're brainstorming, but we have come up with some good things. We got to jot them down and follow through.
We've got 34 more minutes on the line. I mean, on the air.
Okay.
I want to see if I can drive this point home.
Okay.
Once again, I'm going back to operating capitals. Now, even though we want to get grants, and we'll have a copy of a 501c3 application right now sitting in his computer that we're working on, putting proposals together, all of these things take time and money. I have an attorney right now. I can call her right now and say, put this together for me. And the first thing she's going to say, okay, well, that's going to cost you this. So now I'm going back to this point. The point is, if we utilize this location that is reasonable, is accessible, it is in a nice, clean area where people will feel comfortable in coming out. If we utilize this space, and this is what I plan to use to do some of the training, if we utilize this space to start doing concerts, and if we did a concert every month, every 2 months, if we've got 1,000 people in there, or if we got even 800 people, and if we continue to promote, market, and advertise and do this thing the way that we're saying that we're going to do it, we should be able to pack that house two or three times. After three times, we can move to a bigger venue. And before you know it, we're all over the place, but we have operating capitals. We can hire somebody to do nothing but write grants, write proposals, bring in money. But we're gonna need to do something to get that jump start.
Well, let me say this on the grant issue. I referred you to Derek, and I think you spoke to Derek. Derek is with the 501c3, and he deals with grants. He said the time for us to have submitted information for a grant has essentially passed, based off of when the grants are due to be paid out. So what we need to think about is sponsorship at this particular point in time, and also prepare for grants, because this will be something we're looking at from a year from now perspective. Even though we have a fantastic idea, grants are not necessarily, from a timing perspective, where we're going to generate revenue. So I think the thing that you're talking about in terms of people who are going to support us based off of us generating revenue in terms of the fact that we put on concerts, I think we need to understand the timings from a cycle perspective so that we can focus on doing something that's realistic in terms of being able to garner support. And so if sponsorship and people making purchases to concerts and things of that nature, that's an active process. And so we need the expertise in the specific areas where we have people who are capable of reaching out and preparing packages that says, okay, we're looking for Coca-Cola, for Budweiser, for whatever the name of the company is, to sponsor us in this event, as well as we want to reach out for consumer support in terms of people that are prepared to make purchases of tickets and things of this nature. We have to have a complete understanding of that so that as we move forward, that we're not going in the wrong direction of thinking that we're going to get some support from someone in some specific area, and this is just something by way of timing that they're not going to be doing based off the way their budgets are set up, because companies and organizations operate under budgets. So I think it's important for us to become educated about that and to work within the confines of that so that we're not asking someone to do something that's not realistic.
True. One of the, in conjunction with that, we got to gather some data. We got to get some youth, some people involved. Now, this one place, I'll double check it, is Goodwill Industry. They have offered, but I haven't gotten what you say, a signed, a hard copy agreement. I can go back to them, and they may want to joint venture and help with the training. Because the one thing, if we can put it together right, I mentioned to you, work with the U.S. Labor Department and a couple of those workforce centers, they have put some dollars into those centers. We don't want to try to run a center, but we can say, look, we got some training. Can you earmark X number of dollars for us to do some training?
Now, guys, I won't say anything to you that I have not already experienced. I spent 1 year in North Carolina. I worked with the director of the Workforce Development Program in five or six different counties, Halliwell-Caponey, Nash, Halifax. I even worked with the president of Halifax Community College. I mean, man, this guy, we went around for 2 years on this concept, and it all goes back to the same place, is that we would love to do this program, but the government is still taking money. I mean, they're cutting us back here, they're cutting us back there. I don't know about the state of Richmond, but I do know about the state of North Carolina. They're cutting back. So, I mean, that's fine if we're able to get these grants, but what I'm simply trying to say is, and this is my experience, every time I've gotten or look for grants or loans, and I used to have a program in D.C. called the Mayday Mayday Project Youth at Risk Program, designed to redirect youth from violence, drugs, to guide them into a more positive direction through entertainment. I taught in sound, lighting, studio engineering, recording, lyrics, writing, and arranging the business of music, modeling, dance, and drama. And every concert that they had in D.C., Constitution Hall, the stadium over there, Cotterburn Stadium, Constitution Hall, all of these, the Warner Theater, all of these places, every time a concert came, I was able to take these kids in there as part of that training, and we would go backstage, and we met Roy Ayers and Luther Bonds and various different groups through that system. Now, we can focus on getting grants and getting sponsors, and that may happen. It delays the timeline. What I'm trying to do is, like your card say, veterans helping veterans now.
Okay.
That hall, that venue costs $900, and we probably could get it for much less.
Okay.
A couple of headliners, and then start looking for sponsors, advertising, and promotion, and roll it out. If we plan it for, let's say this is what, we're getting ready, July, August, September,
okay.
maybe first of October. If we can't sell 1,000 tickets with the right headliner and with this concept in 4 months, then I need to step.
I totally agree.
Yeah, between the T-shirts that we got,
Okay, why don't we do this here? Okay, we talk to the building, what you call site location, get a contingency plan, a date. Then we line up some sponsors. Well, I guess we probably need to talk to the entertainer. Get a contingency commitment date there. We got the place. We work on sponsors. And then we can get some of the sponsors to underwrite the cost of the T-shirts that we like to give them to the youth. It'll be a two-pronged approach, working with veteran needs and working with the youth, veteran, non-veteran. So,
now, I am a promoter.
Okay.
That is one of the ways that Mr. Jones is on the air right now. I've just finished doing putting together a show. I can put a show together, and I can tell you what it's going to cost, how it's going to cost, and how it's going to work. Between the radio advertisement, the first thing that we need to do is identify the place. I've already identified the place. See if that date is available. If that date is available, put a deposit on that date. Then at the same time that you're looking at the date of the place, you got to look at the date of the entertainment. If we can get a date with the entertainers, we sign that contract with the entertainers, then we start making and selling and marketing, advertising our tickets. It may cost us to contract the place, the entertainers, or whoever the acts is going to be. It may cost us $2,000 to put these deposits down. Once those deposits is down, manufacture the tickets, start marketing and advertising and selling the show. If we can't do that in 4 months, I mean, 1,000 people with this concept, we got to do something to save our children, veterans helping veterans. I think at $17 per ticket, it'll be sold out before we can even get there.
True.
But at the same time that we're doing that, we are also saying to Coca-Cola, you know, you go to Coca-Cola and say, hey, look, we're saving the children. We're helping the veterans. We need this. You want your banner outside. You want your banner outside of that building when these people come up saying Coca-Cola got something to do with this. Budweiser. We need to go to all of them and say, hey, this is what we're doing. We spend a lot of money with you. You know, this is what we need. But we got to have things in motion. We can do this. We can do this, and we can also start pulling in different organizations, because the fact of it is that when we get to training these brothers, now, right now, I can be training. I can have 25 people in that hall next week training them on fiber optic cabling, training them on coax cabling. You know, I can have 25 people in there next week training them. What's the problem? The problem is that I got enough books for three people. We need to put up lab. All the materials, the connectors, and everything that's needed, all of that stuff is going to have to be paid for. So if we want to start training, and it does no good to have a program to train an individual if that person finished that training and can't go get a job.
Hold on, Will.
I've got 13 places here right now that I guarantee if they walk out there with a certificate of completion, go put their names on that platform, they've got their tool bag, they got their uniform, they're going to have a vehicle, they can go to work tomorrow as an independent contractor. But it also puts them in position to be entry level for Verizon, Comcast, and I don't know what your cable company, LimeWire or whatever the cable companies are in this area, you know, but it put them in position to be in the entry-level stage. Then we can go to work and getting some of these organizations to hire some of these individuals.
Can you put your – do you have a complete packet, a proposal for training 25 people, the cost there, 25 toolkit, your certification certificate, and I guess your instructor can put all of that together. We'll use Veteran Helping Veteran. We'll hit Verizon, Comcast, and the Dish Network, and we'll talk to the Department of Labor, see what they can put into the pot, and we'll check some other places. But now when you talk about transportation, we need them. How old is this kid? Do they have a driving license? Do they have a good, clean record? And I may be able to talk to a couple of the car dealers. I work a little bit with Chesterfield Auto Parts. Sometimes they have a vehicle they may donate. But then we got to go through it, get it in good shape, get it in good shape, so a person have a dependable vehicle. Case in point, I'm working on auctioning off a 2001 Mazda Protege. Okay, I had to do the battery, the tires. I'm going to get a company to paint it, and I'm working with one of the automobile deals. They may do the work pro bono. So, if that's the case, we got 1,000 tickets at $6,000. But when we auction the car off, the person that get it will have good, dependable transportation that will last them 2 or 3 years if they change the oil and take care of it. Now, with that concept, if we can put a complete package together, because if we hire if we get the person trained, certified, and employed, and they have no way or means of getting to work, that's another dilemma. But I like what you said. I think that's workable.
Yeah, I understand the location that you have, and think that we need to work the logistics out such that, for example, part of there's an organization that I wanted to bring before your attention, Daniel, which is in Washington, D.C. and other places, which is called OIC. And they're a nonprofit organization. They raise money, and they assist an individual, specifically a veteran that I'm aware of, with $3,000 to essentially go into their own business after they go through a one-week training period. This would put us in a position, if we're focusing on a metropolitan area where the transportation would not become as urgent of a need, because this individual, once they've gotten the job, of course they can get to work once they have the tools through the bus or transit system. And so that we can accomplish the objective of, one, getting them some monies to get the tools they need, two, getting them some monies in terms of for them to go through the training that you're providing, and three, to put them in a situation whereby they won't have this logistics issue. I was 18 at one point in time, of course we all were, and to trust an 18 or 19-year-old or 20-year-old to be able to have utilize transportation to get back and forth from work, and of course they're going to use it outside of work, I think that that's a great responsibility to put on someone.
That's a liability.
That's a great liability.
But check this out. We haven't gotten to the youth yet. What we want to get is individuals that's been incarcerated that are grown men that don't have jobs and veterans. We'll start there. We have a program set up for the youth with the T-shirts and everything, and we'll move forward on that. And as we get further into the situation, you know, but a lot of our young men that is out selling drugs and, you know, gunning us down and things of that nature, they have been incarcerated, and when they come out of that incarceration, there's nothing there waiting for them. You know, those are the ones that I'm talking about immediately trying to deal with. Now, as far as the age range, and I believe you was talking about in the OIC, they between 17 and 21. Now, that is a good age to intervene and to give training, and especially coming out of that area that you're talking about. But once again, we go right back to the same thing. Funding.
Well, I think the issue is getting detailed information, and this is the purpose of an organization, a group of people, because there's a lot of research that has to be done. And so one, it's too much information for one individual to attempt to accumulate or understand.
Decipher
and execute on once it's been accumulated. So I think it's the team concept that we need to lend to in terms of not only the members of this panel, in terms of people who are communicating on this program, but also the board that we have set up so that we can get people collapsing time frames through the ability that we have more people working on this than just one or two people.
Right, guys, we've got 5 minutes left here. So, Marshall, I'm going to start working around the table. I'm going to give you 1.5 minutes to just give a brief summary or just kind of feedback. And, Mr. Mack, I want to have you back here again, if you can agree, next Sunday, because I want to promote this so we can have other veterans and other individuals calling in and getting other suggestions.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Jones. Hello?
I don't know. Is she there?
Yeah, Marshall?
Oh.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Will, do you want to give us your minute and a half?
Sure. My minute and a half is very simple. We've thrown a lot of ideas out that are good ideas. We, what we need to move into is nuts and bolts. And we need to utilize the resources of people who want this to be a reality. And as we utilize those resources, we need to identify specific responsibilities that we're asking individuals to reach out and gather information on so that it can come back to a collective mind, so that that collective mind can assess that information and then put forth an opinion first and then a vote, so that once we begin to move in the directions that we need to move in, whether it be sponsorship, grant writing, or T-shirt selling, or whatever process, so that we're all on the same page, focusing on the things that we need to be focusing on to bring about
Five
the reality
seconds.
That we need to bring about.
Okay, awesome. Appreciate it. Okay, Mr. Mack, you got a minute and a half?
Okay. Thank you for including me. What I would suggest, you mentioned veteran, incarcerated veteran. I'm already working with incarcerated veteran. I'm already working with Virginia Employment Commission. What we can do, get together, go and talk to the veteran reps at DEC and tell them we have veterans seeking employment. Some have felons. What are your criteria, responsibility? How do you inform the company that we have veterans and state the nature of their infraction? And we can start that next week.
Right. Okay.
In fact, I'm going to call all of my veteran people, and if we get together this week, we can sit down and talk and put that in action.
Definitely, you know, because I'm here and I'm glad that I met you, because we're in the same geographical location. We can start making some things happen, and in the next 30 days, we've got our first 25 veterans that we're actually training. That's what I'm looking to do. And we can mix it up, half veterans, half individuals that's just, you know, incarcerated. Been incarcerated and having a problem on that job thing. Mr. Jones, did you come back in? Okay, he's having problems with his phone. So, look, guys, man, I'm driving home the concept that with a small amount of investment from each and every one of us, that we can get this location over here, start doing concerts on a regular daily basis, and start bringing in funds to utilize. And for everybody that make an investment, when this thing start moving good, you get your initial investment back. But someplace we need to start bringing in the dollars. The T-shirts, they're going to be going online. Ms. Carr, she's going to be putting up the fashions and that portion of it. But what we need to do is to really start being active. And Mr. Mack, I think between you and I and this general location here, we can tap into some resources and have 1,000 people out there having a good time. I mean, entertainment, I'm bringing some of the best entertainment for a very reasonable price. And I'm quite sure that Mr. Jones don't mind flying down to represent and to join us. So with that said, I've got 4 seconds to go, and I'm probably going to give you a call off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground. I want to thank my guest, Mr. Henry Mack, the director of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, Mr. Wilbert Geis, and also Mr. Marsha Jones. Take care.
Can't be denied. Is there anybody else out there who sees a care about a thing unless it's money or some bling. Cause all we ever taught them was you've gotta get yours, baby. Read between the lines, because they will pay the price for the greed and all the lies. If we fail them, you gotta